Well, shalom, y'all. Just want to welcome you for joining us. We are so glad that you have joined us. You know, great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah, his instructions, the very law and commandments which he has given us. And we have peace, we have joy, we have completeness when we love his Torah, when we love the instructions he has given us, when we embrace them, when we follow them, and we walk in them. And the verse goes on to say that nothing will cause them to stumble. So we will be, as Yeshua said, the person who built his house upon a rock. When we learn his commandments and we do them and we walk in obedience to his commandments, we are like the person who has built his house upon the rock. When the test and the trials come, nothing will cause us to fall or stumble. We will stay standing. We will stand firm. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that you're having a wonderful Hanukkah. This teaching is coming to you during a week of Hanukkah. So we are actually going to have a teaching this week regarding Hanukkah, or you could say the Feast of Dedication or the Feast of Lights. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the story of Hanukkah and how they rededicated the temple and some things that we can learn and glean from this story and that we can apply into our lives as well, into our daily walk, and things that we can be thinking about during this Hanukkah season as well. You know, the wonderful thing about Yahweh's calendar is that we go through this cycle each and every year, and there are certain concepts that we are reminded about every year. Because, you know, we as humans, we have a tendency to forget things, and we'll move on and we'll move beyond stuff. But it's good to be reminded about certain key elements of our belief and of our faith, and to search ourselves and to apply those things into our lives on a yearly basis as we grow in our walk with him. You know, a long time ago in my study time, I was reading over a scripture, and it was one of the scriptures that said, "Seek Yah and ye will find him." And as I looked into what that word seek means, and that Hebrew word meant to go over almost like a trodden path. The idea is you're going over the same thing over and over and over again until you beat it down. The concept, the idea is when you go outside and if you walk a certain path over and over and over again, it beats down that grass. It trodens down that grass. And so that is kind of the idea behind his calendar, is there are certain things that are key to our belief and our walk with him that we go over, over and over and over and over again. But each time we do it, we are growing and we are becoming more like him if we're doing it in a pure heart and in humility. Humility is coming before him knowing that we don't have it all figured out, that we are not perfect, that as Paul said, "I'm the chief among sinners." It's having that attitude of knowing that we are messing up and we do mess up. And there are things in our lives that is sin that we probably are blind to because our pride and our arrogance causes us to be blind to that sin that is in our life. But humility is the ability to seek Yahweh and to allow him to speak to us. And a lot of times he's going to speak to us through somebody else because our pride and arrogance will not allow us to see the sin that's in our life. And so humility will allow ourselves to strip that away and to hear what the Father is saying, to get rid of those things that are in our lives that are not pleasing unto him, to get rid of, you could say, the idols that are inside of our hearts. So that's why I kind of went there, because as we get into the story of Hanukkah, we're going to see how they brought idols into the house of Yahweh. So how even sin can find its way into our hearts, how we can embrace it and hold on to it, and because of our pride, because of our arrogance, we can refuse to let go of it, and a little bit of compromise can lead to something much greater and bring much farther destruction than we probably ever would have imagined ever occurring. So let's go ahead and start with our story. So since we're going to be reading the story of Hanukkah, we will actually be in the book of Maccabees. So we're going to be in 1 Maccabees chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, "From them came forth a sinful root, Antiochus Epiphanes, son of King Antiochus. He had been a hostage in Rome. He began to reign in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days, lawless men came forth from Israel and misled many, saying, 'Let us go and make a covenant with the Gentiles round about us. For since we separated from them, many evils have come upon us.' This proposal pleased them, and some of the people eagerly went to the king. He authorized them to observe the ordinances of the Gentiles. So they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to Gentile custom and removed the marks of circumcision and abandoned the holy covenant. They joined with the Gentiles and sold themselves to do evil." So first thing I want to talk about here in this story, as we see in the very first chapter, before Antiochus ever goes on to actually invade the temple, before he goes to resurrect or build an idol and to defile the temple, we see here in this verse that there are those in Israel, there were those in Jerusalem who, as it says in the verse, were lawless men. What does it mean to be lawless? These are men who are not living according to what? The law, or you could say the instructions or the Torah, which Yahweh had given them. So these men had already abandoned the Torah of Yahweh. Remember, those who love his Torah, nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, these men did not love Yahweh's Torah. So they're stumbling, they're falling, and they go right into a trap of an evil man called Antiochus. Okay, so what do these lawless men do? They forsake the God of Israel, and they come in covenant with Antiochus. Okay, they join themselves in covenant with Antiochus, even to the point that they removed the marks of circumcision. So they got rid of the physical mark that showed that they were in covenant with Yahweh. So they would not look different than the Greeks, but they could blend in with the Greeks. So not only were they acting like the Greeks, but now they wanted to give the appearance that they were Greek and that they were not Jewish, or you could say that they were not in covenant with Yahweh. And it even says that they abandoned the Holy Covenant, which of course we know that they abandoned the Holy Covenant because they were lawless men to begin with. But these men thought it was better for their sake to survive, to conform to the Greeks, than to be set apart or to be different than the Greeks and to walk in covenant with Yahweh. Because when we walk in covenant with Yahweh, when we are obedient to his Torah, to the law which he has given us, his instructions, it sets us apart. That is what the Torah does. It sets us apart. We are cleansed of our uncleanness. We are forgiven of our sins. We have received mercy and we have received grace because of the work of Yeshua, because he died upon that cross for us. And by putting our faith in him, we are born again. We receive a forgiveness of our sins. But it's through our obedience to his word that we now become set apart from the world, that we now become different than the world, okay? So they entered into covenant with Antiochus. The word covenant simply means to have treaty with someone or to be an ally, or you could even say to be at peace with someone. So when they chose to enter into covenant with Antiochus, they chose to be at peace with Antiochus instead of being at peace with Yahweh. We cannot be at peace with the world and still be at peace with Yahweh. See, when we are walking in righteousness with Yahweh, when we have a heart that desires to walk in obedience to his word, and we are striving to walk in obedience with his word, well, we are going to find it hard to be allies with those who choose not to work in obedience to his word. We're going to find it hard to be at peace with them. Now, we seek to be at peace with them. We do not cause the strife. We do not provoke strife amongst them. But you're going to find that they're not going to be at peace with you, because you stand for that which is right, while they are at peace with sin and with conformity to this world. And that even happens inside of our local body, inside of the church. There are those that appear to be righteous, appear to be believers, but yet they are more at peace with the desires of their flesh than they are with the actual Spirit of God. So this story starts what I call one compromise. It's a pretty big compromise. I wouldn't say it's a small compromise, because they are abandoning the covenant and they are joining covenant with this evil man, Antiochus. But because of this compromise, because of this, a much worse destruction is going to come to Israel. Okay? And what does that teach us? Well, number one, sin is never satisfied. So that little thing that you have going on in your life that you're overlooking, that you think it's no big deal, that sin, if you don't deal with it, if you don't kill that sin, it's not going to be satisfied. And it's just going to continue to want more and more and more. And it's going to just bring about further destruction into your life. So let's look at what the Torah actually tells us and instructs us about making covenant with sin. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. And when I say covenant with sin, I'm saying being at peace with sin. So when Yahweh your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of Yahweh will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. So here is the instructions that Yahweh is giving Israel when they go in to possess the land. And what does he tell them? You shall make no covenant with the people that is in the land. Now remember, the people that were in the land dated back to the time of Abraham, some 400 years prior. And Yahweh had told Abraham that his descendants would go and serve. They would be servants in another land for 400 years, giving time for the people of the land, the people we just read in that scripture, the Canaanites and all the other ites time to repent of their wickedness that they had done. But over that 400 years, they never repented. So now Israel is coming. They're going to receive the land, and Yahweh is going to vomit them out of the land because of their wickedness. So this is a wicked and sinful people. And Yahweh is saying, do not make a covenant with them. Do not be at peace with them, because if you are, they will cause you to stumble. Okay, so if you make peace with sin in your life, it will cause you to stumble. And just as these people eventually led Israel to worship their gods instead of Yahweh, sin will cause you to abandon your covenant, your belief, your relationship with the God of Israel, Yahweh. Remember, you are a servant to whom the one you obey. That is what Paul tells us. If we obey sin, then we are a servant of sin. If we obey his word, then we are a servant of Yahweh. And remember, Yeshua didn't come to get rid of the Torah, but he elevates it. He takes it to a matter of the heart. And for an example, he goes with adultery. He says, if you even look upon another woman in your heart, then you have committed adultery with that woman. So if you've even looked at another woman while being a married person and thought and had a desire to be with that woman, to have a relationship with that woman, then you have committed adultery in your heart. That's where Yeshua takes it. So those are the things that we have to be on guard about during this season of Hanukkah. These are the things that we need to look at. Is there something in my heart that is not pure? Do I need to repent of something? This is a time of rededication. This is a time of a cleansing. What is inside of me that I need to rededicate? What is inside of me that I need to be cleansed of? And every single one of us out there has something, if not more than one thing, that we need to get rid of and that we need to rededicate to him. So let's go ahead and get back to our Hanukkah story here. We're going to go back to 1 Maccabees chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, after subduing Egypt, Antiochus returned in the 143rd year. He went up against Israel and came to Jerusalem with a strong force. He arrogantly entered the sanctuary, took the golden altar, the lampstand for the light, and all its utensils. He took also the table for the bread of the presence, the cups for drink offerings, the bowls, the golden censers, the curtain, the crowns, and the golden decoration of the front of the temple. He stripped it all off. He took the silver and the gold and the costly vessels. He took also the hidden treasures which he found. Taking them all, he departed to his own land. So here we're seeing the next step, you could say, in the progression of the sin that Israel has entered into. They have entered into this covenant with Antiochus. Now Antiochus is not satisfied with just this peaceful arrangement that he has with these lawless men in Israel, but now he seeks to defile the sanctuary of the living God of Israel, because that is what sin wants to do. It wants to defile the temple of the living God of Israel. That is what Satan is after. That is why he tempts us. We are now the dwelling place of the living God of Israel, of Yahweh. Satan wants to defile us. Okay, so let's go ahead and skip down to verse 41. Then the king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. and that each one should give up his customs. All the Gentiles accepted the command of the king. Many from Israel gladly adopted his religion. They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. And the king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. He directed them to follow customs strange to the land, to forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the sanctuary, to profane Sabbaths and feasts, to defile the sanctuary and the priest, to build altars and sacred precincts and shrines for idols, to sacrifice swine and unclean animals, and to leave their sons uncircumcised. They were to make themselves abominable by everything unclean and profane, so that they should forget the law and change all the ordinances, and whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die. So, as we see here, what was Antiochus' goal? What does he do? He goes and he defiles the temple to the very part where he begins to sacrifice unclean animals, that which was an abomination unto Yahweh. He now brings those things into what was the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, the inner place where nothing that was unclean was to enter into. Remember, the tabernacle provides us with a roadmap of what it means to be in the presence of Yahweh and how to find ourselves in his presence. He is holy. He is set apart. There is nothing that is unclean about Yahweh. So that which is unclean, that which is profane, that which is abominable, cannot enter into his presence. So it must be dealt with. It must be cleansed, right? So that's why we first have to be cleansed by the blood of Yeshua in order to draw near unto him. We have to be cleansed of our uncleanness. And then we're cleansed of our uncleanness, and we need to come and approach him in set apartness, right? Well, sin desires to come and defile us and to cause us to pull away. Because we see that here in this scripture, that it got to the point that he charged the people to forget the law. Sin will want you and cause you and lead you to forget the instructions, the commands that Yahweh has given us. It will cause you to turn a blind eye to his commands. It will tell you it's okay if you don't follow that one command. It's okay to have that one relationship. It's okay if you eat that one thing. It's all the same. All those compromises are the same thing. It's okay not to remember this day and to keep the Sabbath holy. These are all compromises that sin tempts us with. So just because you may be keeping the Sabbath and you may be eating right, but you may have something else in your life. There may be a relationship in your life you shouldn't have. There may be an attitude in your life that you shouldn't have. There may be pride. There may be arrogance that you need to get rid of that is in your life. There may be unforgiveness in your life that you need to get rid of. There may be hatred towards a person that you need to get rid of, or bitterness. So those are all things that we need to, at this time, to stop and think, is there anything in my heart that is defiling the temple of the living God of Israel? And just as the scripture said that they defiled themselves with every unclean thing, that is what can happen when we live a lifestyle that is at peace with sin. When we're not constantly searching our hearts and purging our hearts and cleansing ourselves. This is about ourselves. This isn't about our neighbor. This isn't about our brother or our sister. This is about ourselves. This is a time to think and dwell and search ourselves. And if we are not searching ourselves, because this is another tactic the enemy takes, he gets us distracted by everybody else. And we're looking at what everybody else is doing. And, oh, I'm better than that person. Remember, Yeshua talks about that in the temple, about the religious person that's standing there pointing at the sinful person saying, at least I'm not like this person. While the other person's on his knees begging, crying to have mercy upon the sinner. And what does Yeshua say? Which person left here forgiven? It was a sinner who responded in humility. So let's not be like the religious person who's just pointing at the other person saying, oh, he's talking to this person. Let's examine ourselves and look within us. Is there peace? Are we making peace with sin in our lives? Because if we continue to make peace, to be at peace with the sin in our life, that lifestyle will lead us to where we will defile ourselves with every unclean thing. So let's go back to the scriptures and let's look at 1 Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 19. But Matthias answered and said in a loud voice, even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to do his commandments, departing each one from the religion of his fathers, yet I and my sons and my brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion to the right or to the left. So here we see in the next chapter, we have a family that begins to rise up in the midst of what is going on. And they put their foot down and they say, we will not obey the king. We will not turn aside. It says, the scripture says, from our religion. But as we can see from the previous chapter, what he's saying is, we're not going to turn aside from the commands of the living God of Israel, the living commands of the Torah. We choose to be obedient to the Torah, to the commands of God, not to the commands of the king. So this is something that we need to really kind of understand and to really be able to have the courage that this family has, because there is coming a time in the future, and there are people already on this earth and certain nations that already had to have this courage in order to follow Yahweh. You want to have a time where you're going to have to stand up and say, I am not going to listen to the kings of this earth, but I'm going to listen to the King of Kings. I'm going to follow his commands. We're going to need to have that boldness. And where does that boldness come from? It doesn't come from us. It's not something we're born with. It's not something that's unique to us because we're special. This is the boldness that comes by his spirit dwelling and living inside of us. And that is why it's important that we are filled with his spirit on a daily basis and we stay filled with his spirit on a daily basis. And that we have that intimate relationship with his spirit. We need to be able to understand when his spirit is speaking and when our flesh is speaking. Because let me tell you, there are times where we think the spirit is talking to us and it's not the spirit, it's our flesh. And we need to learn and be able to discern between the flesh and the spirit. And being filled with his spirit so that we have the boldness and the power to stand up to the evil and the corruption that is coming in this world. So let's look at 1 Maccabees chapter 4 and verse 42. He chose blameless priests devoted to the law and they cleansed the sanctuary and removed the defiled stones to an unclean place. They deliberated what to do about the altar of burnt offering, which had been profaned, and they thought it best to tear it down, lest it bring reproach upon them. For the Gentiles had defiled it, so they tore down the altar, and they stored the stones in a convenient place on the temple hill until there should come a prophet to tell what to do with them. Then they took unhewn stones, as the law directs, and built a new altar like the former one. They also rebuilt the sanctuary in the interior of the temple and consecrated the courts. They made new holy vessels and brought the lampstand, the altar of incense, and the table into the temple. Then they burned incense on the altar and lighted the lamps on the lampstand, and these gave light in the temple. They placed the bread on the table and hung up the curtains. Thus they finished all the work they had undertaken. So this is a part of the story here where we see that this family, upon standing up against the king, ultimately they would achieve victory and they would hold off Antiochus and they would retake the temple. And so the passage that we just read there was a passage where they go and they begin the process of cleaning out the temple, and then they rededicate the temple. That is what Hanukkah is about. It is a feast that is in remembrance to this event of how this family stood up against Antiochus and how he rededicated, this family rededicated the temple. They cleansed out all the things that Antiochus had brought into the temple to defile it. They got rid of it. They cleansed it out. And they rebuilt the temple according to the holy instructions that Yahweh had given Israel. That is what they did. So that is what this season is about for us. It's about taking the time to stop and examine our lives. Is there things that have crept into our lives that are not correct, that are not righteous? Or is there any unclean thing? Is there anything that is unpleasing to him, that is not like him, but is like the world? Is there anything in my behavior, in my attitudes, in my belief patterns that are shaped according to the thoughts of man, according to the thoughts of this world and the ways of this world, instead of being shaped by the commandments of Yahweh and his law? We are to be a people who are shaped by his commands, who love his commands, who are obedient to his commands. And we are not to have even the little bittest bit of compromise in our lives, to have no peace with sin in our lives. So let's examine ourselves, to look inside of us, to be like David. May we have the boldness and the courage to be as David, to pray that the Holy Spirit would search our hearts and that his Spirit would show us anything that is unclean, anything that is not pleasing unto him. And when he shows us those things, because let me tell you something, he will show you that which he wants you to remove out of your life. So let us have that time. Let us examine ourselves. What do I need to get rid of in my life? What is defiling me? What is causing me to defile this temple of the living God of Israel? And allow his Spirit to work and move in us, to remove that from our lives. Let's pray and let's rededicate our lives unto him, to live in that which is pure, that which is holy. They brought that which was holy, so that which was not common, that which had been cleansed, that which was set apart for the purpose of his dwelling place. So we need to bring that which is holy into us. Sometimes the rededication can just be a dedication of watching and putting a new guard up on what we allow ourselves to hear and think about and dwell upon and meditate upon. You know, we need to really practice and understand what it means to think upon that which is pure, that which is holy or set apart, that which is good. You know what is pure and good and set apart? His word, his commands, his character. Those are things for us to meditate on and to think about during our days and our day as we walk our day out, thinking about him and his commands and allowing ourselves to be transformed into his image instead of being conformed into the world. It's so easy for us to be like the very first men that we read about in the scripture, the lawless men who just conformed themselves with the Greeks. It's so easy to just conform to the world around us, to conform to their thoughts, their attitudes, their behavior, and the things that they do. But it takes the power of his Spirit at work in us to transform us into the likeness of our master, Yeshua. And so let me go ahead and end with this last passage. This is a passage of instruction to us, given to us from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Messiah with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Well, hallelujah. Let us search ourselves during this season. Let's make sure that we don't have anything that is unclean inside of us. Let us remember that even Paul himself tells us, do not touch that which is unclean. To come out from among the world doesn't mean we go and hide ourselves from them, get in some secluded area and never see them. But we are to come out from among them, as in we are not to act and behave and think like them. Be separate. Act different. And the way we are separate and the way we act separate is by walking in obedience to his word. So don't touch that which is unclean. So let's just thank Yahweh for this season and this feast in which we are reminded that we are not only his dwelling place, but we need to make sure that this dwelling place is kept pure and undefiled. So let's do the work that we need to do to make sure that we're keeping it undefiled this season. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with a teaching from our next Torah portion. So we hope that you come back and join us for that. So come back now and shalom, y'all.